Dan with Time We Discuss. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Making It Rain.
Thanks, Rebecca. It's awesome being here today.
Happy to have you. You help people get unblocked entirely, even if their mind is completely blocked or locked. Tell me about your experience around unlocking this and why this is a passion for you.
Oh, wow. Okay. So for passion, I think it'd be easiest to start there. And the passion behind this really comes, it's a very personal experience. My wife, she was at a crossroads in her career and she wasn't sure what to do. She wasn't sure if she should resign from her current position or if she should stay with it and just kind of grin and bear it as much as she wasn't enjoying it. And my wife and I discussed it and we decided that, you know, it was in her best interest to just resign. And this was late spring. And during this time, she was trying to rediscover herself and trying to find out what skills she's had that was applicable to other careers and how she can make that transition work. And when she was doing this, she really encountered a lot of roadblocks. She tried meeting up with a career coach and that didn't work out. But she knew what she wanted to do was go down the route of nonprofit. So that was kind of her thing while she was doing that. And while she was doing all that, I was watching her from the sidelines. I'm thinking, why aren't there resources available or seemingly resources available where people can find out what these other jobs are like, where they can take their skills and easily transition from one job to another or one career to another? And I started exploring this and I could not find anything. And Rebecca, I have a very strong web background. So for me, navigating the web, I'm like swinging on vines through a jungle. You know, it's really easy for me to find stuff under normal circumstances. And I couldn't find anything. And I decided, you know, I'm going to try to create this resource for people. I'm going to try to create a resource for people that are trying to start their career, but also people that are trying to transition into their career. And the passion for it really comes from watching my wife from the sidelines and her struggle with trying to reinvent herself.
That is, I mean, my heart is in like my throat with like the ability to just feel that warmth and that support for her, that masculine energy of like, hey, let's go this direction and let me figure this out also and heal the world while I do this. What an enormous effect you've had on impact. Can you tell us a little bit about what this journey has looked like, not only in unlocking this for your wife, but also unlocking this for the world one podcast at a time?
Sure. So there's kind of a second part of this. So my wife went through some major health issue shortly after COVID. And conquering this, she found this urge to kind of like give back and make meaning to the world, I guess, or produce something that gives meaning to the world. And similarly, like watching from the sidelines or participating kind of from the sidelines, I guess, a part of that kind of stuck with me too. You know, like why can't, when we're making things better for one person, make it better for everyone as well? So for me, a lot of that passion kind of comes from that as well. And again, seeing how my wife struggled and other people could be struggling just really, really resonated with me very well. And I feel like it's a very important thing that should be out there for everyone. So I don't know if that answered the question completely or not.
No, it totally does. I love the passion and I love how you guys have had changes in your journey and you've been able to pivot and adjust. And I think like from an evolutionary basis, it's one of the extraordinary gifts of being a human. I don't think we use it enough nowadays. You know, we don't really have some of these shifts that are happening enough. It's the way that we choose in those moments what defines us. You know, when we're looking in the face of adversity, and we're seeing certain points of shifts and changes, whether it's health or pivots, I think that's pretty extraordinary. So what do you do now? What have you seen in terms of a couple of years in this space? What have you seen in terms of the impact so far? And what are some of your favorite stories?
Oh, wow. Let me start with my favorite people, I guess. So it actually goes out this Sunday. So by the time this goes out, I'm sure people have seen it already or have the opportunity to see it. But I spoke with a magician and I love magic. Have loved it ever since I was a kid. And I was trying so hard to like not beam uncontrollably when I was speaking with the guy. But that was really, really cool. Just hearing about how he came up from a childhood and pursued this, or speaking with, there was a board game writer who also hasn't aired yet. She airs in I think 2 weeks now. But just listening to how she pivoted through her career and found that calling and answered it. Just really, really interesting things. Those are really cool people. When it comes to the stories, honestly, it's the feedback I get from people. I've had many people tell me, you know, I love using the word love. I love what you're doing for people. I love what you're trying to accomplish. And for me, it gives me that validation that I'm onto something. And I try to remember that when things aren't, when my listenership isn't growing as much as I'd like it to grow, or people aren't engaging as much as I'd like them to engage. It's like, it's getting that validation. You know, I might not be growing as quickly, but I'm on the right track at least.
I think that there's a lot of parallels with that, with also what you teach, I would assume. I would gather from this. And so from a perspective builder, it just sounds like what you really love to do. You're building perspective when somebody believes that they're blocked. If I have a client that thinks that she is absolutely stuck in, let's pick the finance world or the medical world, what have you seen in terms of when people unleash their love for life, or their, maybe it's their first love? I don't know if magic was their first love, and then, you know, they let it go for a moment and then they came back to it, and it's bountiful and expansive and thrilling. I don't know. But tell me a little bit about what you've seen in the world and what you've learned from a perspective of career changing and the abundance of it, perhaps.
Sure. So one of the neat things, one of the neat characteristics that's come up several times is just do it. So specifically with my writers, I've heard that come up over and over again. Like, if you'd like to write, if you want to pursue writing, just write. You don't need a degree to write. You don't need to be you don't have to have a bachelor's degree in children's literature or something like that to write. You can just do it. And if that's what you want to do, just do it. When it comes to other people trying to get into other careers, you know, from my perspective, I did freelance stuff for a period of time while trying to work the full-time job and do the family life and everything like that, and trying to balance all that. And that's been an interesting ride, but it's one of these things, like, every little bit at a time, you just move forward, you just push yourself forward just a little bit. And by the end of the week, you're a little farther ahead than you were at the beginning of the week.
I love that. That's really beautiful. So it's not that you're saying to wait while you are in career and in this space of journeying with experience in another area, but rather to take the bull by the horns and start to practice with it while you have the opportunity, even as a freelancer, even just on the side, and maybe for free for yourself, just to discover. What advice would you give somebody in that space of career changing, either or making a significant change mid-career? And what are some of the objections you've heard so far?
Oh, wow. I can't think of any specific objections, but I would say that kind of taking life by the horns and just, even if it's baby steps, just a little bit at a time will get you there. I have a friend who's an artist, and one of the mantras he lives by is kind of like what I was saying before, where it's like, you do a little bit each day. You tell yourself, I am going to, you know, paint for 5 minutes. I am going to draw for 10 minutes, whatever it is. And you just have to make it happen. You can't, if you're that committed to making a difference, if you're that committed to changing, then you have to start somewhere. And those 5-10 minutes over the course of a day will make a difference. And sometimes people will get a little more ambitious. They might say, okay, well, I'm going to do 5 minutes for the first month, every day for the first month. And then month two, it's going to be 10 minutes every day. And then maybe after that, 20 minutes every, and they kind of ramp it up. And they kind of build themselves for it. And once you're in that momentum, I don't know if you like to exercise. Personally, I hate to exercise. But what I've heard with people exercising is that, like, and I try to, even though I hate it, is that when you start to take a break from it, when you have a day without doing it, or 2 days without doing it, or whatever it is, it's a lot harder to get back into it. And for me, someone that hates it, it's even harder to get back into it. But I'd like to think the approach with advancing a career, a side career, a freelance, something like that, sticking with it without breaking, you're going to be able to run with that momentum.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually a professional ballet dancer. So for me, I feel that I have a very differentiated viewpoint on the world, where I appreciate that strength takes time to grow. And I find that there is this big gap between people in the normal world who are like, why is it not here yet? I mean, I'm also the same person that will do five crunches and be like, why is my six pack not showing up yet? Like, what is this? I have to wait for this. So it's a really interesting and surprising, but unconventional way of thinking too, because you're aware of the thoughts that are kind of getting in your way and trying to speak to the stagnation at the status quo. And so there is a lot of appeal to staying comfortable and staying in a space that it's there, it's available. I'm working, I have a career. I should be grateful and I should be happy. For those of you listening, I'm using quotations with my fingers. So what is some unique advice that you would give somebody in maybe even beginning to dream? Perhaps they can't really think of an idea that's what they would desire. And from all of the stories that you've been exposed to, I would imagine you have some very valuable insights on this one. So take it away, Dan.
So for that, I think another theme that is recurring is people's passions for things. I've had multiple people say this where, you know, like I was speaking to a self-published author and she was saying, she was talking about she had just given birth to her third child, her husband has a career, she's working, trying to balance all that. And she was trying to write a book. And I said to her, I said, Kristen, how did you balance all that? And she said, Dan, when it's something you're passionate about, it doesn't seem like it's work. And that resonates with me. And I think that a lot of people would agree with that. When you find something that you're really, that you enjoy, that you're passionate about, that you find the time to do it and it doesn't seem like it's a lot of work. And you're probably also laser focused and you're getting stuff done. So I would say my advice would be for someone that is looking to shift careers or try to find a new path for themselves, really take a deep look at what you're passionate about, what lights you up on the inside, and try to take that and run with it.
And so when they're exploring your podcast, you have some amazing points within career growth and exploration from authors to publishers to magicians to others. What kind of tools in that space for either growth or exploration or just listening would you recommend that they listen for? Or how would you recommend that they begin to track out what they're passionate about? Some people I find don't even know what they're passionate about. Any thoughts?
Sure. So specifically with my podcast, I mean, if you look at the listing of people and see what different, you know, occupations might be like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what I need to do that. And then you can explore it a little bit more. I'm always in the process of grouping them out. So I also have several playlists at the moment. So if you're interested in writing, I do have a writer's playlist. So you can hear the different perspectives on several authors that I have. And I want to try to grow this even more as I get, for instance, maybe you need a master's degree in X or just maybe master's degree in general. And that would be a playlist of occupations where maybe you need a master's degree. Or maybe there are occupations where you don't need a degree. And I definitely want to create a playlist of those. I don't have enough of them to create a playlist yet, but there are a handful where that's a good example where you don't need it. So that would be a good place for my show. That's what I would recommend.
So what's the most like surprising career that you've discovered so far? What was one that you didn't expect and or was really interesting to you simply because it was so outside the box?
Oh, I'm trying to think of the ones that I recorded that would fall in that category. The ones I have not recorded yet. I have a professional declutterer that I'm going to bring on the show, which I didn't even know was a job. So those are the ones that I love, where it's something that I had no idea it existed. They found me or I found them. And the next thing I know, they're part of the show. So that's what I'm really, really excited about. I also have an inventor that's going to be on the show in the next couple. I'm going to record the person in the next couple of weeks. So I'm really excited about that one. The board game writer, that was another one. I just had no idea that such a job existed. And it was funny because talking to her, she's like, I didn't know it was a job either. So that was really cool as well. She just kind of stumbled into it. And, you know, then I met up with her and the comedian was another one. That was a really cool conversation with Meredith. Her video drops, I think, in a couple of weeks.
The horseman was really interesting to me. I did not expect, but I also know horse trainers are out there and exist. It's just the viewpoint of that from a horse business was really interesting and unique, but also powerful. What are some of the emerging career fields that you anticipate over the next couple of years with, you know, we've got AI coming into the scene. We've got so many different ways of life with being an entrepreneur. And oftentimes I think that people actually put a little too much into the dreams and the hopes of being an entrepreneur when there could be really unique careers out there that are available or nonprofits that are already existing in those spaces. But curious about like what you anticipate in terms of emerging career opportunities.
Sure. So I have a very strong background in technology. I was a tech at one point, an audio video technician at one point, web at one point. So I have a very, very strong technical background. And I feel like technology is only going to continue to grow. I think AI is going to be huge. I think people that know how to interact with AI are going to be a huge asset. It's not going away. They're going to try to regulate it, but at the end of the day, it is not going away. And I think a lot of people that are fighting it, I know that artists in general, there's a lot of, I'll say animosity towards images that are generated using AI and their copyright struggles with that. And I understand that, you know, as an artist myself, I do understand that, but I also am a realist. I understand it's not going anywhere. It almost reminds me of the music wars back in the late 90s, early 2000s with Napster and pirating. You know, that technology is not going away. And I feel like people that understand AI, understand how to work with it, I think they're going to be a huge asset. I think any kind of automation is going to be huge. I think delivery with drones, I could see that happening. I think additive manufacturing, which is a 3D printing, I think that's going to be another big one. I think a lot of these things are going to really, really disrupt and shake up various industries. I think blockchain is going to be huge. I think that a lot of people fail to realize the importance of what blockchain technology can do. I think a lot of people are scared of what it can do. And I think a lot of people are scared of how these different technologies can impact different industries. And they're scared of that. And they don't want it to happen. And I think that's why we're seeing a lot of fight back from various people and organizations.
Interesting. I love how you said that you, when you went to go look into the interwebs for what you provide, that it was like swinging on vines for you, that you could just kind of traverse the internets with ease, the internets. So when you are coming across somebody that claims that they are terrible at technology or believes the story that they're telling themselves with that I'm terrible at technology. And I would say that me 5 years ago was terrible with technology. Now I'm creating API hooks and doing other things that my coder brothers are very excited about, but I wouldn't have anticipated myself to be in this space. What kind of advice from somebody that's tech advanced, running his own podcast, providing for his family, supporting his wife and all of these like changes and tumultuousness, which took an enormous amount of courage. What would be your unique advice to somebody that's telling themselves a story about being stuck?
I think when it comes to technology, I think find something that you can work with that is going to save you time. I think that is a huge asset. You know, we can always get more money. We can always get more stuff. You can't get more time. That is the one thing you cannot get more of, generally speaking. There's a way that you can use the technology to give yourself time back. I think that is huge. For instance, you might use it to write an email to someone. And it might not be not a personal email. You know, I'm not going to use AI to write email to my wife or something like that. But if I'm at a loss of words for a day or I'm short on time and I just need to communicate something, but I need to be a little fluffier, you know, I can easily use ChatGPT, you know, go to openai.com, you know, say, write an email that expresses gratitude for the cookies that got sent to me. Then that frees me up where it'll come across sounding sincere. I might have to tweak it a little bit and I'm okay with that. But I don't want to have to write three paragraphs about why the cookies were awesome. I will if I have to, but if I can get away from doing that, and I can put my energy towards something else, that would be even better. But when it comes to jobs, those skills are going to help you as well. If you can find a way to take these other skills and then learn them and then apply it to a new job or a new occupation. So for instance, maybe you're scared of Excel. And you're one of these people where you're constantly typing in row after row after row, column after column after column. You know, you're calculating the averages using a calculator or something like that. Take the time, learn how to use the average function and just make it happen. And I promise you, because I love Excel, I promise you, once you start using Excel, it gets a lot easier and you become a lot more productive with it. And then that's something you can throw on your resume too. So that's one thing you can do.
Powerful. I think an extension from this conversation would be like, what are some additional key skills that you would believe that are essential for career success or career pivoting, and how individuals should develop them?
I think one of the big things right now are social skills. I think being able to be empathetic or sympathetic, especially if you're a leader, if you're in a leadership position, you need to be able to recognize your employees, where they're having their challenges, whether it's work-related or home-related. And you need to be sympathetic towards that. You need to understand that your workers are people too. You know, sure, you know, I liked having, you know, when I'm at my day job and I have my employees coming to me, you know, I want to make sure they're doing their job. I want to make sure everything is coming together, because at the end of the day, I'm responsible for that. But on the same token, if someone's child is sick, you know, I'm not going to make them come into work. You know, that's they're dealing with enough problems. They don't want grief from me at the same time. So I think that is super, super important. If you're, you know, trying to grow as an individual in a professional environment, I think that emotional side of you is huge. And there's so many people out there that do it so well. And I think for every person out there that does it so well, there's someone that does it just terribly. So that's, I think, one thing, if you want to grow, I think that emotional side, I think is huge. You know, I can learn Excel in a day. I can get a book. I can watch a YouTube video, many YouTube videos. I can do my favorite, you know, web platform and learn it. But you can't be sympathetic or empathetic in a day. That's something that takes time. And that's something I think a lot of people value. I think companies or corporations will value that. Nonprofits will value that. And employees will value that too. And I think that'll be good too with your social life, with your friends and everything as well.
Yeah.
Everyone wins.
You'll probably make some more friends too. who knows? what a plus. I totally agree with you. I find that there is such a gap between this recognition of our means to our connections of emotion. And I don't know if that is something that we've just become scared of being protected by keyboards and sitting behind computers or what, but I love the contrast of how you are so equal opportunity across technology and impact and enrichment. It really speaks through not only your podcast interviewing, but also so much of what you represent. So mad respect. Can you share a particular episode from your podcast that maybe has changed the perspectives of many of your listeners? And what was the takeaway?
Oh, wow. That's an awesome question. I don't know that I have a good answer for that, unfortunately. Yeah. One thing I could guess, and I think this would hit me really hard, and I really liked this. So at the end of each of my podcasts, I saw like a little thumbs down. I guess I picked up from like my hand motion.
No, that was me. I was just holding my hand strange and now making hearts because I wanted to make sure that you did not think that was you. It's not you.
So at the end of each of my segments, I always ask my listener or my guest if there's something that they would like to share, if there's a cause they believe in, a project they're working on, something like that, that they can share. Because, you know, they're on my show, they're helping me out. We're helping all of our listeners out, but I also want to give them something too. So I always say if there's something they want to talk about, you know, they can do that. The floor is for them. And I was interviewing the speech pathologist, and her name is Christina. And at the very end, she basically said, you know, if you have any concerns about your kids, you know, seek help for your kids. And it's not something to be ashamed of. There are plenty of kids out there that are getting help at various aspects, could be behavioral or motor skills or anything, but there's no shame in that. And you shouldn't feel that way. And for me, that really hit close to home, because I really agree with that. I feel, and I said this to her, I said, you know, it's important as a parent that we give our kids the tools they need to succeed, whatever that looks like. So I like to think that statement from her, a lot of people could relate to and really, really accept and just remember that.
So powerful. And I love that that's such a common denominator within your empathy and your impact and really connecting so authentically, but also deeply and wide, really comes through with your presence and also your role. How do you find roles of mentorship and or networking to play in the space of maybe opening up the idea of being able to pivot in their career or their own development, and episodes that you would recommend on your podcast for that?
That's another excellent question. I don't know that I have an episode that specifically, okay. Any of the self-published authors or the entrepreneurial episodes, we'll talk about that ability to promote yourself. And I wish I had the confidence now, 20 years ago, because I feel like being confident in yourself and really pursuing what you want is huge. And I really, really wish it didn't take me, 20 plus years of being an adult to get to this point. But I think any of the podcast episodes that I have, wherever you're listening to an entrepreneur or the self-published authors, they all discuss promoting themselves and what it takes. And you need to be okay with that. And you need to be okay with not only promoting yourself, but also getting that rejection. You need to be okay with going to a bookstore and promoting your book. And there's a big sign in there saying, authors here. And you need to be okay with no one stopping over to say hello. You need to be okay with that. And I think that's huge, hearing these people talk about this.
I couldn't agree more. I find that I actually seek out rejection now. I actually give my clients a 40-day rejection challenge where you'll either go into Starbucks or you'll go into a bookstore and ask for something for free. And it's a specific item. You can't just be like, can I have that thing for free? It can't be like a pen on the counter. It has to be like, can I have a venti, a mocha choco, whatever, frappuccino with da 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 for free, please? Is there any way that could happen?
I wanna ask, but also don't wanna know, what is the success rate of that? Are they able to get stuff for free just by asking like that?
You know what's amazing? So one, actually, yes, that is that's the surprising side effect of that. You would be surprised what some of my clients have gotten for free. Because they've either been like a consistent client of that person or, something opened up, right? But it's really interesting too, because when you are asking for something that you have conviction around, you feel the difference. And so because you are seeking rejection and it's creating a toughness, there's a mental toughness to that where you're waiting for the no, and you're kind of looking forward to it. Cause as soon as you get it, you're like, okay, I got a no today. And so my clients are like, well, I got the no, but like I had to tell them that like I was on this like project. And I said to them, I was like, listen, the first week for that, that's fine. Later, let's not tell them why. And let's experience what that feels like in just having that discomfort. And I think that's really what you are opening up is this shared experience in discomfort and feeling okay, not only okay with that, but almost bolstered and empowered by it, because it has opened up a variety of additional doors. And what a power that is, Dan. Like that's just such an amazing aspect and side effect of your podcast that I truly love. I think that's amazing. So what are some future projects or expansions you're considering with the podcast, or opportunities for listeners to go over there and check it out?
Sure. So I'm always looking for more people. Right now I have a huge wait list. I just signed up about 20 people this week. So my calendar is a little full at the moment, but I don't want to discourage anyone from contacting me, because I'd love to have anyone on the show. I'd love to have anyone that where it's an occupation I've already spoken about, because I'd like to get different perspectives. I interviewed a photographer. Her video comes out next Wednesday, actually. And she said, well, I do a freelance. Is that okay? And I said, of course, that's okay. I want that perspective. And if I get someone that does it, they work in a studio or something like that, I'll get their perspective as well. Cause I think that's important. I don't want people to think like, this is the only option. If you want to be a photographer, freelance is the only option. I don't want that.
Are there any enhancing career opportunities through your podcast or future expansion pieces that you plan on diving into?
One thing I want to do is bring people back for follow-up. And I talked about doing a follow-up Friday. And the idea is that people can leave comments and ask different questions. They want to know this about this occupation. And I said, I'd be happy to bring people back. And it'd be like a Friday. I'd probably air it on a Friday night or something like that, or put it out Friday in the afternoon, but it'd be called Follow-Up Friday. And it would just be, these questions for this person. This is what people want to know. What can you tell them about this and get their perspective? So that's one thing I definitely want to try. With the influx of people, I'm also adding new episodes on Wednesdays. So it'll be the last Wednesday of every month. I'm going to have a new episode as well. I'm already committed to every Sunday. So that happens regardless, but I want to start bringing in more videos, but I want to be careful that I don't overpromise and then can't deliver. That's why right now I'm just doing it every Sunday and then the last Wednesday of the month. And then if I can continue to bring that in, if I continue bringing in more people, then I might do like two Wednesdays a month or something like that. And then eventually maybe it'll be twice a week. So that's how I plan to grow it. But right now I need to carefully balance my work life, my podcast life, my home life. I got to make sure that is all in balance, because I don't want to neglect anything.
Otherwise, you will be using ChatGPT for your love letters to your wife, and that will not be good. So don't do that.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. Not even ChatGPT wants that. Oh gosh, Dan, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure talking with you and learning about your podcast. I am probably going to send a couple of people your way. I have a couple of thoughts just immediately popping into my mind of people that have pivoted into new careers in beautiful ways that would love to dive into those conversations with you. And
yeah, Rebecca, I would absolutely love that. And like that, I'll speak to anyone, because I feel like everyone's story is unique and everyone's perspective is unique. And I love that.
I love that you are so open. I adore that. I think that's such a beautiful, you have such a beautiful heart. You really do. It's beautiful to share this space with you. I find that you are a rarity, and I am very excited for people to find your podcast and the ways that you open up the horizons for people just to start thinking about things. People, I find, get so lost in the idea of actually changing a career or even letting themselves dream about it. So,
yeah, I agree. And I think so many people too, when they first, you know, enter their adult life, they don't know what to do. And it's like, well, I guess I'll go into accounting, or I'll guess I'll go into biology, without realizing what they really want to do, because they might not even know what's out there. And I really hope that through this podcast that people can learn more and really get a broader idea of what actually could be out there for them.
I couldn't agree with you more. So how do they find your podcast?
Sure. So if you go to timewediscuss.com, from there, I have links in the footer for all of my social stuff, including YouTube, including the podcast page. And then following the podcast page, it's on Spotify, it's on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. The list is there. Just go to timewediscuss.com and then click around, you'll find it.
Amazing. Amazing, Dan. Thank you so much. And how do they schedule with you if they would like to request some time on the podcast?
Sure. So just send me an email. There's the contact page on the website itself. I did have a schedule button. I took it down. I'm actually thinking about putting it back up, because I just changed some dates for the summer. So I'll probably put that back up. So if you happen to go there and you see the schedule button, you can just use that. Otherwise, go to the contact button.
Wonderful, Dan. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure connecting with you. Really.
Oh, likewise, Rebecca. It was great speaking with you too.